Let's turn now in God's Word to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 4. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord. Our gracious Father, we give thanks, praise to Your name. The God who from all eternity speaks and now speaks to us. As we are before Your throne, we pray that You would teach us Your ways. In particular, You would teach us about one of Your creatures who is, according to Your eternal decree and providence to us, that You would move us by Your grace to resist Him, knowing that He will flee from us, as You promise. Bless us, protect us, and give us great warning here of our great enemy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. These are God's words. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Those are God's words. Again, last Lord's Day, we've learned that Jesus has been baptized in the great expression of being numbered with transgressors in humiliation for the God-man. That just as all who are in covenant with the Lord have been baptized, so Jesus was baptized in great humility, and the Holy Spirit came down, rested upon Him to equip Him and strengthen Him in His human nature for the bringing about of all the promises we have in the Gospel, in His life and in His death. And even that which came next, which is our passage that is revealed to us this morning. The Holy Spirit resting upon Him to endure this. The only point this morning is Satan the great enemy. Satan the great enemy. You look there at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We see here, first of all, that Jesus is not seeking the wilderness or seeking to be tempted of the devil. But he was led up by the Spirit there in the wilderness to be tempted. Led by the Spirit. There's no one else to encourage him, no one else to support him. It was Jesus Christ alone in the wilderness with the Holy Spirit that had rested upon him. And yet this time of great enjoyment for Christ, think back to last Lord's Day. A great time of enjoyment for Christ, think of that context of the last verse of chapter 3. The Father had proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." A time of perfect enjoyment, basking in the Father's love for His Son. And it is then when Satan, the devil, the serpent, the old serpent, the dragon, the slanderer, verse 3, the tempter, Lucifer, the great accuser, comes to attack. It's in times of great enjoyment and success that we often find on earth that Satan will most likely attack us. Do you feel comfortable now? It's probably because, if you're comfortable, it's probably because Satan has attacked you and you are in sin. Because before that, you had some great enjoyment, success in your Christian life. And Satan came and attacked you. And now you feel comfortable. As a Christian, you should never feel comfortable in this life because you're in this present evil age. And living in a present evil age is never comfortable. Satan is an angel, a great enemy. And angels are real, but not all angels are good. Right, children? Angels are real, but not all angels are good. We see in Scripture a warning proclaimed by John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. They're talking about messengers, prophets who are false, but at times a messenger, a pastor, a teacher, a preacher, a messenger who appears to be good, proves to be false. If you're in a church where the gospel is not first and foremost, that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of His people, and you can be saved from your sin and be numbered among His people, adopted into the family of God, if you turn from your sin, as the Lord offers Himself to you, that you would turn from your sin and come unto Him, freely offered to you in faith. If that gospel of grace is not proclaimed, and if it's not first and foremost, then you are seeing and hearing a rock concert then, or an entertainment thing, or where everything you hear is positive and encouraging. That itself is all evidence that you're engulfed and surrounded by the works of the devil. In Scripture, messenger is the same word as angel. As such a messenger, a pastor, an angel of light may actually be Satan himself. That's what 2 Corinthians 11 teaches us. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You see, beloved, it's the duty of each and every one of you to test the spirits, like John said. When a minister preaches, test the spirits, like the Bereans, test the spirits. Is he proclaiming what the Bible says? What God says? If it is not what the Lord says, and he's preaching something else, it's false. Is what he proclaiming for the exaltation of Jesus Christ, the glory of Jesus. If it is not, he is false. Now, beloved, this great enemy, Satan, is not just out there, and it's not just dealing with his temptation, tempting Jesus, but this great enemy concerns you. He concerns you. For not only the wicked are who are outside of Jesus Christ, not only do the wicked have as their father the devil, as we prayed a moment ago, but all Christians have as their great enemy, just as shown through our Savior here. The great enemy comes to attack him. And if he attacks Jesus, and most certainly he attacks us. And it's promised in Scripture that he does do that. There is a spiritual war that we are engaged in with unseen enemies that we cannot see with our eyes, children. We have enemies that we cannot see with our eyes. Right? Great enemy. Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What's flesh and blood? That which you can see. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Because we are followers of Christ. We are on the front lines of the battle. And no Christian can escape the battle. You cannot escape the great battle that is waging right now. Those who do not take this seriously are like the soldier in the trench on the front line where the battle is raging and going on and you're sleeping. If you don't acknowledge that Satan is the great enemy, then you're like sleeping when the battle is raging. Now, the reality on this earth, beloved, is that this world after the fall is full of sin and lies. People in the world believe that mankind is basically good, right? The world does. That morality is relative. All these are lies of the devil, Satan. We'll be investigating in this book, Matthew's Gospel, demon possession, because it's there and it's real. You see it even in verse 24 of this chapter. You think of Luke 8 when Legion, the man demon possessed by many demons, Luke 8, was confronted by Jesus. It says there he was driven by the devil. Many having many devils or demons in him, and Jesus having here in his human nature meeting the devil. Later speaks of him with absolute conviction. Right here he meets with the devil, chapter 4, but he speaks later with absolute conviction that there is a devil. He is Satan. He is real. John 8, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, Satan is defined as liar. That's all he is, a liar. We learn from that verse of the wicked that they are of their father, the devil. Because the wicked are what? Full of lies. There's no good, there's no righteousness in anyone outside of Jesus Christ. And so they're of their father, the devil. Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Children, that means grave, right? Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That describes the world. And everyone who is not in union with Christ and has not repented of their sins or turned to Christ in faith, they're described with those words, an open sepulcher, their tongues used for deceit, poison of asps, snakes, under their lips, proving again that they're of their father, the devil. Because Satan himself is the great serpent, or the old serpent. Satan has nothing to do with the truth. He has nothing to do with the truth except to take a little bit of it and skew it to convince you that evil and sin is good when God alone is good. And when that evil and sin is utterly evil. When you are who are outside of Christ are doing those things that are sin, evil, believing those things, feeling those things that are wicked, you truly believe in your heart they are good. Good for you. They're right. They're pleasing. Or you think they're wrong. And you do them anyway because you like it. And why? Because you're of your father, the devil. Satan is the great adversary. And he's so full of lies. He is defined as the great liar, the father of lies. For he's so contrary to Jehovah, who's the truth. And if you are of your father, the devil, then you're of your father who is the liar. And you know full well that children often go the ways of their parents. Similar characteristics, similar personality traits. And so it is with unbelievers, but more so when your father is the devil. Because you think of your earthly parents, there's no rebellion. There is rebellion against them, which is itself rebellion in league with the devil. All the lust of your father ye will do. If you are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ today, then you must believe in the devil, whose name is Satan. You have to believe that he's real. In other words, not believe in for your Savior, of course. But believe that he's real. Satan is that angel who rebelled against the Lord, as described in Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In the sides of the north I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And so Satan, an angel, sought to exalt himself before God, exalt himself above God, and was cast down and cast out of heaven. This is again described in Ezekiel 28. It says, there thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. A cherubim. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Notice that he's created, right? Satan is not the creator. He is created. And he was good, perfect in all his ways, like all the good angels today and forever, until iniquity was found in thee. And he was cast out of heaven. He turned from the Lord, trying to exalt himself above the Lord, above Jehovah. That is great sin, iniquity. And what happened further is described in Revelation 12. There was war in heaven. Because of this, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, that's Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Those angels we often call demons. His angels, who are the demons, cast out with him. And so now, having been thrust down, he is named the father of lies. the great adversary, the great deceiver, and is our great enemy. And what does He do unto us? Well, what He did unto mankind is found in Genesis 3. At the beginning, at the fall of mankind, He used a little bit of the truth, full of lies, to tempt and convince Eve to sin, to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that the Lord said, "You should surely not eat of this tree, lest you die, die." Genesis 3, verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Eve was convinced that the tree was good for food, even though the Lord said not to eat of it, lest they die, die. That meant that it was not good for food, was it? To eat of this tree would lead to the murder of all mankind. It's not good to eat of that tree. And Eve ate, and Adam with her, and so all mankind was murdered. Romans 5, in Adam, union with Adam, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So Eve saw that it was pleasant to the eyes as well. She lusted after it. James 1 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And that lust there encouraged, the flesh encouraged by Satan with Eve. 1 John 2, "Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world, in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." But then Eve also desired to be made wise by the tree, so she ate. To be wise, to not only know good, but evil, like the devil. To experience not only good, but also to experience evil. And so she saw, she took, and she ate. We also see in Genesis 3, verse 6, it says, "And a tree to be desired." To be desired with the will to make one wise. And that only came because of the great enemy who tempted her. Not only in her mind and in her will, that we just saw there, but in what she saw, what she felt, everything. There was nothing in the tree that communicated, "You will be wiser." It's only based in what she heard from the devil that she thought it would make her wise. But not true wisdom. Wise according to the devil only, which is false wisdom. Because what happened? Is that truly wisdom to eat of a tree that will kill you? That's foolishness and a lie. What did Satan say? "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And at that time they only knew good before the fall. Revelation 9, verse 11, Satan again is described. "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." He is the destroyer. That's what that means, those words mean. Destroyer of hearts and souls and bodies. He destroys you. He seeks to destroy you, beloved. That's what the devil does. He is a roaring lion seeking out that he may devour you. You see, the devil is moral corruption and proclaims sin as healing and good. He's personified evil. His name is Belial, which means worthlessness. Do you really want as your father one whose name is worthlessness? Liar? Deceiver? And yet Satan is also mighty and powerful. Don't think that he is not more powerful than you. Compared to us, he is probably, it seems like, infinitely more powerful and mightier than us. Of course, he's not infinitely more. But he's certainly way more mighty and powerful than we are. And so consider that this morning. He's described in Scripture as a prince, a ruler, prince of demons, so-called Beelzebub, the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He's the king over the swarming hordes of demons that torment mankind. We just read in Revelation 9, right? In 2 Corinthians 4, the devil is the god of this world, a ruler of this world. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So he's trying to stop the gospel, right? He's trying to keep the darkness where the light of the gospel can't go through it. And yet we know that not even the gates of Hades can overcome the gospel going forward, that of Christ the Son, because the light always pierces the darkness. And yet Satan is still trying to keep the light out of the darkness. And now look at our passage again as we consider the devil. Notice as most of us here probably heard about the temptation of Christ, the three temptations. Notice that the devil is not afraid of Jesus. He's not afraid to assault even the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Three times recorded that Satan attacks God's own Son when he in his human nature is at his weakest. This shows us that Satan is smart. He's weakest because he's been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And remember when we have fasted before, when you have fasted before just one day, and you know when you truly have fasted, you're at your weakest. And Jesus upheld in his fasting. And so this shows as Satan attacks him at this point that he is smart. We might say the word intelligent. He knows a good time to attack not only the Lord Jesus, but he knows when to attack us as well. This Satan, the great adversary who tempted Job, deceived David, even gave Peter a great fall. Three times, and then the rooster crowed. And Peter denied Jesus. He's a murderer. Satan is. He's a liar. He's a roaring lion. This Satan, whose enmity or hostility against our souls never slumbers nor sleeps. That is, that the devil's hatred for us never ends. This devil is he who some 6,000 years ago has been seeking to do one thing to God's creatures on the earth. To ruin men and women and children and draw them into hell by keeping them in sin and in wickedness and in darkness. This is he who is so cunning and convincing, as the great schemer surpasses our understanding, and so often therefore appears as an angel of light, when in reality he is actually an angel of darkness. Yet it seems to us that he is an angel of light sometimes. And so, beloved, you must know that Satan is real. where very clearly, many times, Jesus has proclaimed Him as real. And you must know that He's not afraid to attack Jesus Christ, as we see in our passage. And since He's not afraid to attack even the Lord Jesus and His human nature as the God-man, then He's certainly not afraid to attack you. And He will attack you. He is our formidable enemy. Revelation 12 describes what He is doing in the world. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Satan has been cast down by Jehovah, yet he has great wrath. He knows the reality that he loses. He knows the reality that his time is short, and that he is the great persecutor of the church. That's the woman there. He is the great persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ. This great war between angels, holy angels, and the demons with Satan, you see it? Go back to chapter 2 when the wise men are warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, and so they departed another way into their own country. Why? Because Satan had already begun working and inspiring Herod to kill all the male babies in Bethlehem who were in Galilee in the same age range as Jesus. And it says, when they departed there, and when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Who is the great destroyer but Satan? If you see destruction in the world, that is Satan working. If you see destruction happening in the church to souls of people, that's Satan at work. When you see division in the church, that's Satan at work. If you want to see Satan in Scripture, then consider the hostility of Cain when he murdered Abel. There's where you see Satan. When you get to chapter 6 of Genesis and the corruption of the line of Seth, because the sons of God lusted after the daughters of men. Think of the attempted raping of Sarah and Rebekah. Satan behind it. Think of Rebekah's plan to cheat Esau out of his birthright and consequently the hostility between Esau and Jacob. Think of the murder of the male children in Egypt by Pharaoh in chapter 1 of Exodus. Think of those who attempted to murder David. Think of David who committed adultery and murdered Uriah the Hittite, even as a believer. Think of Athaliah's attempt to destroy the royal seed and offspring. And Haman's attempt to slaughter the Jews and Esther. The consistent attempts and wicked successes of Israelites murdering their own children, sacrificing them in the fire of idolatry. Most of those named were Satan ruling the wicked, except for David and his adultery and murder. But in there, you know, as you go through Scripture, you can see how Satan also tempts the people of God to try to destroy the people of God, as with David. And so, beloved, know not only with very great certainty that Satan exists, is real, that he is, though, also a threat to your life. He is a threat to your soul. He's seeking to kill you right now. He's seeking to distract you so you're not paying attention now to this warning. He's seeking to limit and neutralize the work of Christ. When they're in the field with the wheat and tares, the church, there is Satan seeking to do his great work. Satan has a gospel too. You can go through many churches and hear his gospel. You are good enough. All you need is yourself. Maybe you need what the people around you too. All you need is the self-help books. There are millions of servants of the devil in the church, beloved. So we prayed. They are called wolves, which we're warned about. They're called goats. We're warned about them. And Galatians alludes to this gospel of Satan. He says, Paul does, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Notice the language of angel. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, should I not be the servant of Christ? But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what is the gospel of Satan? Paul testified, it's a gospel that seeks to please man. Satan's gospel pleases you. Makes you feel good about yourself. Makes you comfortable. The preacher who seeks to please the hearers and tickle their ears is a servant of the devil. The gospel of Satan is man-centered, work-centered, or merit-centered. Anything other than exalting Jesus-centered. Centered on pleasing you, satisfying you, glorifying you, or the preacher glorifying himself. Those are the characteristics of the gospel of Satan, because those are the characteristics of Satan himself. It's all about him. It's all about what he does. It's all about exalting himself before God. And so that's what the gospel of Satan is, even, that we see in the churches. Another gospel, which is not really a gospel at all, because it's not good news, it's death news. Anything that turns the true gospel and changes it just a little bit is of the devil. To be saved, you need to receive the sacraments. That's Satan's gospel. To be saved, you need to be good and do good. That's Satan's gospel. As long as you don't do anything heinous, you'll be received of the Lord. That's Satan's gospel. Proverbs 14. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way that seems right to man is of the devil's gospel. It's not about what you think is right, what you think is good, what you think is satisfying. It's what the Lord declares that is, because He is the God of truth. We also know that there is an end to Satan. Remember that he is a creature, not the creator. And so Revelation 20 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so that communicates to you what? Every one of you. What does that tell you? It tells you that it is stupid to follow Satan. It is stupid to follow the devil and to cling to any false gospel which perishes forever. What we just read from Isaiah 14 earlier and now Revelation 20 tells you what? That Satan is a perpetual failure. He's a failure. Read our text. He can't even get Jesus to sin in one of his weakest moments. He's a failure. He sought to glorify himself before Jehovah. Failed. Read Job 1, and what you find is that Satan cannot do anything unless it's part of God's eternal decree and sovereign plan. He can't even tempt Job unless the Lord allows him to do it. He's a failure. He needs permission from Jehovah to do anything, even for a time, before he is cast completely down, which again declares that he is a failure. And yet he is called the father of the wicked. All who don't come unto Christ in faith, hating their sin, if that is you, the devil is your father. Satan, your father, who is a failure and will be a failure forever and ever and ever. And as a failure, he cannot keep his demons harassing people and entering people when Jesus comes to cast them out. Jesus casts them out with just a word. He just speaks and they're cast out. Hebrews 2 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." There we see that why Jesus has come to the earth, why he did, to destroy the devil and the power of the devil over you and your bondage to him, to set free all whom Christ died for, to save them. Colossians 1, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Delivered from darkness and from Satan. Jesus does that. If you want to be delivered from your father, who is the devil, then come to Jesus. It's the only way to be delivered from him. And we'll come back, Lord willing, next Lord's Day with what we are to do now as Christians with the reality of Satan and his temptations and his power and all these things. But let us conclude with knowing that the answer in all of this, that you have two options. It's always two options. It's never not two options. You can stay with your father, the devil, who is forever a failure. Or you can turn now to the Lord Jesus Christ from your sin, from the bondage you have to your father, the devil, to him, and have a new father, be adopted into a new family. It is alone through Jesus Christ that you can be saved from slavery to your sin and slavery to the devil. By hating your sin, hating failure, hating Satan, and thereby loving Jesus. That's the only option you have, is Jesus. Satan is a failure. Jesus is victorious. He's a winner. He's a mighty conqueror. Romans 8, the great accuser comes, our great adversary who seeks to condemn us in our hearts. And the Lord says through Paul, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth?" Right? Satan tries to. "It is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, those things on the earth, or any of those things on earth can separate us from the love of God in Christ?" No. It says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are being killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors, more than victorious. Not just victorious, more than victorious. Through Jesus Christ alone, who loved us. "For I am persuaded," it goes on, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels," here we come with Satan and his demons, right? What about them? "For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Satan can try and try to rip you from the grasp of your sovereign King, Jesus Christ. But he will fail. Christian, he will fail and he will fail and he will fail again. Because the children of God and the bride of Christ are kept by Christ. They're kept by our God in Christ, by the Holy Spirit. That's the hope and comfort that we have. That's so great and against so great an enemy. That Satan's greatness as an enemy, and he's a great enemy, really turns to nothing and weakness and failure before the face of the living God, who is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in Him alone that we have all hope and pleasure and satisfaction, that we are more than victorious in Him, that we are set free from sin and bondage to Satan, and that we are not under Satan's grasp any longer, but that when the great enemy comes and attacks, that in Christ, by your grace, we are able even to resist him, and he will flee from us. This is not possible of ourselves, but in Christ, even that is possible. So we pray for any here who don't know you, who are slaves to sin and Satan, again, that you would shine your light into the darkness and bring them out, setting them free from the bondage that is to the great enemy. Help us to know that he is real, to live as though he is real, because he is. And yet also know that though he is great and mighty and powerful, that he is really weak before you. And because we are in union with you, we are strong. Your grace is sufficient. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.